Failure is not an option.
What difference at this point does it make?
Nobody said it was going to be fun.
This is Real Talk, a fearless, poignant, and intrepid show where truth speaks louder than words. This is Real Talk with your host, Audrey Russo.
The shame, not of this world, so we live on the run. We keep our eyes set, on what is to come.
It happened before. It will happen again. It's just a question of when.
Time's a luxury we don't have.
Hi, everyone. This is comedian Ellen Karras, the Greek goddess of comedy, and you are listening to my very good friend, Audrey Russo, on Real Talk. She's funny, too.
Welcome back. If you're just joining us, this is Audrey Russo, and you're listening to Real Talk. What has the assassination of a peaceful Christian man engaging in free speech revealed about the national security threat the Marxist left now is to America? Well, we're going to discuss this and more with my next guest. For my new listeners, Major General Paul Vallely is a West Point graduate, a retired deputy commanding general for the U.S. Army, a veteran of two combat tours in Vietnam, and a graduate of the Industrial College of the Armed Forces and the Army War College. Throughout his 32-year military career, Major General Vallely served in positions such as infantry company commander, intelligence officer, operations officer, and military advisor. His theaters of operation included Europe and the Pacific Rim countries. He has over 15 years' experience in special operations, psychological, and civil military operations. General Vallely has served as a military analyst for the Fox News Channel and is a guest on numerous nationally syndicated radio and TV talk shows. He's a best-selling author and the founder of Stand Up America. It's my great pleasure to give a Real Talk welcome back to Major General Paul Vallely. Welcome back, Paul.
Oh, thank you, Audrey. Always a pleasure.
Thank you so much. And well, we're going to jump in with this. The assassination of Charlie Kirk was one of the most shocking events. I know you knew Charlie personally and are involved with TPUSA. What's your thoughts on what happened?
Well, you know, all the facts aren't out yet. There's a lot of conflicting reports coming in of whether he was shot from the back or the front. Were there other people involved? Was there another shooter with the rifle on a roof that I saw yesterday? And so from that aspect of it, they're still trying to find out. But I try to caution not to jump to judgment on these things until we get all the facts. And because there's always a lot of conflicting scenarios when something like this happens. So. But yeah, Charlie, I brought him out here to speak when he was, 19 years old. And that was in 2014, and
oh
I was on
gosh.
His original advisory board. Yeah.
Yes. Wow. Yeah, I was going to say, because TPUSA has changed the hearts and minds of thousands upon thousands in the U.S. and really around the world. So what is it about him that provoked you to be part of their work?
Well, I think his vision of what he wanted to do when he was 19, you know, he wanted to go to West Point, but never did.
Yeah.
And they decided not to go to college, but to proceed with putting together an organization, which then became a Turning Point USA. And then, of course, moved his headquarters to Phoenix. I was down there for the grand opening for that. I think it was the summer of 2020. And then I had Charlie out here again in 2020. I had 500 people attend a presentation by him. And so we raised a lot of money for him and worked with Foster Freeze, the cowboy financier from Jackson Hole, Wyoming, to raise the first $1 million for him.
Wow. Well, I do hope, because it is such a great work, I'm hoping that it sparks something, a terrible thing, that God would turn it around in the hearts of the young people, and that they would now go forth and start to engage the culture the way he did.
Well, it's really a turning point for America now, and it brings to light the vast evil we have in this country. That's being spread, in our universities by the left-wing media, the Communist Democratic Party. And so there's a lot of people involved here, and the FBI and President Trump, certainly the Justice Department, they have their hands full trying to come up with the right indictments, I would say. I mean, there's a lot of people, you know, we've written in our books, those that have conducted treason against America. You know, Brennans, Clappers, Hillary Clinton.
Is there any progress on any of those that you know of?
Yes, there's progress, but they have yet to come out and indict anybody like George Soros. Yeah, they're being very careful, I know, but they've got to put some of these people in cuffs.
How about one? Paul, how about one?
Yeah,
just give us one.
Yeah.
Give us one. Okay.
I can name a number of ones that ought to be, that's for sure. Biden, Obama being one and two, and Brennan.
You know, if they need help, they can look at your books. You already have all the evidence laid out. I mean, it's getting to be silly now that, you know, we say we know these people, and many of us know what they've done, but indict one, just at least one. Let's see, get the ball rolling here. Now, President Trump is doing a brilliant job in the highest crime cities in our nation. I mean, he's cleaning up D.C., which is amazing because I might even go visit. And he's he's headed toward Memphis, that's in my state, the city with the highest murder rate in the nation right now. Right. What are your thoughts on his goal and his progress so far in cleaning up these highest crime cities?
Well, it's a national must that we clean these cities of all the crime that's occurring, killing innocent individuals, propping up some of these gangs through George Soros and others. But these ghettos have got to be cleaned up. And so Memphis, East St. Louis, Portland, Oregon, for sure, with Antifa controlling that city. And it's just got to be done. I mean, these Democratic mayors, for the most part, take no action to clean up the city. Yet you see hundreds being killed and wounded in Chicago, for example. And it's all about being anti-Trump rather than doing the right thing for the people, for your citizens.
The people have actually, that live in those cities, have been the victims of the criminal policies of the Communist Democrats. And they're thrilled. These people are thrilled. They're making it known that they're thrilled that these places are being cleaned up. I know the D.C. Mayor Bowser at first pushed back, and then suddenly she began to, agree. And when she saw the progress, and of course, I'm sure she was getting patted on the back for it, she began to cooperate with the president's program. President Trump has included on his list Minneapolis, Chicago, Los Angeles, etc., all Democrat-run cities. Do you think the citizens of those cities will finally wake up and realize that the GOP are their friends and not the Dems?
Well, I don't know. You have some of these individuals are so, they're not very educated in a lot of these communities.
Right.
Especially seeing the ghettos and some of these places where these young men and women never complete the junior high or high school and they get involved in these gangs. And so it's a real cancer that we have. I mean, New Orleans is another city that they're going to go in and clean that up along with Memphis. They're already working on Memphis now. But it's got to be done. I mean, and then cutting out all the drugs coming in the country via sea, land and air, as we say, from Venezuela. So we're knocking those boats out. So we're trying to secure our country again and get us back on track. But these left-wing evil people that we have, the Jasmine Crockett's, the AOC's, Chuck Schumer, then they want to put in a radical Islamist in New York, Mondavi.
Yeah.
I mean, these people are crazy.
Yeah.
Where are their minds at? I mean, the politics are just horrible in this country.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. And the other problem that we do have brewing, and I know you know well about it, is Dearborn, Michigan, where they have made it known there that they plan to take down the United States. They think it's their duty before Allah to bring us down, our empire down. With that kind of talk and what you have there is now 55% of Dearborn is Muslim. And we're talking devout. And when we say devout, that means violent. So shouldn't we be looking at that? Shouldn't the Justice
Absolutely.
Department?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, gosh.
Well, they are, but the question is next, what do you do?
Yeah.
If they're citizens, how are you going to arrest them and maybe even deport like Ilhan Omar? She should be deported back to Somalia.
Well, she lied to get in.
Minnesota.
Exactly.
She lied to get in here. Illegally.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So either we're going to do what's right. If we don't do what's right, no one will, because the Democrat Party are communists, so they're not going to do what's right. They just want to take power. Now, it's clear, thanks to the corrupt policies of the communist Democrats, that our enemies from within and without are still posing national security threats. And I just mentioned Dearborn, but there's others. Would you name some of those threats that you're seeing? And if they are the president's and on the sec war's radar?
Yeah. Well, you still have the cartels. They haven't been cleaned up yet in Central and South America, though we're working on that from a national level. We've sent jets into Puerto Rico to back up any kind of operations against Venezuela. We got part of the Atlantic Fleet, as you know, working out of Guantanamo and some other areas in the South Caribbean there. But certainly the manifestations we see still in our universities, these left-wing professors that stir up a lot of the activities and poison the minds. So we have a lot to do in the educational system, which is the other major threat that we see from our young people. But Charlie Kirk and his assassination is changing a lot of people on campuses and schools. I mean, thousands signing up for new chapters. So that's a very positive thing for sure.
Yeah.
But then you have external threats from China still, hacking. We got some threats out there from maybe some potential bio attacks again, cyber attacks. We're continuing to build up our military and strengthen it under Pete Hegseth, and he's doing a great job. But we have so many entities within the United States that are working against having a good government that's for the people and by the people and of the people. So some of these people in Congress, they don't even know what the Constitution is, some of these left-wingers.
Yeah.
And anyhow.
Yeah, that's no, I mean, that's so true. That's so true. You know, we, of course, you have spoken before many times about the CCP, and you've covered a lot of areas, but you just published an article, and some of the information I just I've never heard of, and I thought I knew a lot about this. but it was Chiang Kai-shek's warnings to the world. Could you share some of that with us?
Yeah, I sure could. Chiang Kai-shek, as you may recall, fled out of mainland China after the Red Wave, and they formed a new government. That Formosa, they called at the time, Taiwan Now. But basically, his warning was, as long as communism exists, there can be no true peace in the world. And of course, we see that's what's happened with the left-wing Communist Democratic Party, our universities, as I've discussed.
Yeah.
But he looked at it, was the first call, they're a satanic communist red devil. And being a Christian, Chiang viewed the CCP as an evil force that challenges God, destroys human dignity. And back in the era of Chiang Kai-shek, was one of the earliest and most resolute anti-communist. So, and then, of course, 1945, a lot happened at that time. Mao came into power, of course, scolded Chiang viciously for more than 10 years. And Mao then... promised to guarantee domestic peace, implement democratic politics, strengthen national unity, but he just did the opposite. It was hypocritical.
Yeah, they always lie. The communists always lie.
Yeah.
But he, he was warning everyone about them, and of course, apparently the world wasn't paying attention because look what happened. Of course, I won't get into. Kissinger and Nixon, but mostly Kissinger, what he did to us by thinking we were going to woo them to democracy through capitalism, and that certainly didn't work, did it?
No, didn't work at all.
Yeah, yeah, it's a disaster.
Henry was a little naive.
He was very naive, or he was looking to make a fast buck. I'm not really sure which one it was, Paul. But so this, I mean, that they are still a problem. They're an enemy still within, aren't they, in our country, the CCP?
Well, yeah, their ultimate goal still in 2025 is to rule the world with communism. Today, many Americans are still deceived by the CCP.
Yeah.
Some even argue, what is wrong with the CCP taking control? That's how naive and uneducated much of our society is.
Yeah.
And to defeat America, the CCP has been taking every chance to spread deceitful propaganda,
yeah.
Incite conflicts, divisions, and, that's our challenge today.
Yeah.
But we've got to defeat it. We've got to overcome this.
Well, yeah, and I think part of the problem is the trade with China because
right.
The average American will look, well, if we're trading with them, they can't be that big because,
sure.
We don't trade with Cuba and they're communist. Yet that's the problem. That's part of almost propaganda because people say, well, it's made in China. Well, they couldn't be that bad because we're trading with them. And so they just, they say, well, CCP, whatever, that's not a problem. But it is a problem, and how do we make it clear to people to understand just because we're trading with them, it's a hard thing. It seems hypocritical, doesn't it?
Well, I mean, when you order something on Amazon or whatever, check if it's made in China. I don't buy it anymore.
Oh, you're good.
But a lot of it's hidden. It's recycled through Thailand and Vietnam, a lot of the goods. But we ship so much overseas, and we wanted cheap labor, so we bought cheap goods, clothing, electrical products, all the things that you could basically order off an Amazon.
Yeah.
And so we dug ourselves a grave over there,
yeah.
And with a lot of the medicines then were produced in China that weren't produced here.
That's scary.
And so
yeah.
Bringing manufacturing back to this country is one of the most solid initiatives of the Trump administration.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Paul, where can the listeners follow and support your excellent work, order all your books, including Beyond Treason, Betrayal and Treason in America, and The Dismantling of America, and where can they follow Stand Up America as well?
Well, thank you. Yeah, donate to us. We've been around 20 years. We've never been in debt. We do great analysis. We provide the administration, many studies, analysis. We have a good intelligence division, publications. But you can go to Stand Up America US, StandUpAmerica.org. Don't put Stand Up America, because that's what George Soros funded in 2015 to counter what I was doing. Mm. So it's StandUpAmericaUS.org.
And they can get the books and everything there, correct?
That's right, correct. Use anything on our website. It's open to everybody.
Excellent. And as always, I'll have those links in my after show, which is now on the live show page. Just go to AudreyRusso.com, click on the honor button, and right under the show description, you'll find all the links and info you need to follow the general's work. Thank you so much again, Paul, for sharing your brilliant assessments on this with us. We look forward to your return to the show. Until then, may God bless you, your work, and may God save America. Bye for now.